Welcome to the Functional Alignment Show, where I aim to functionally bring alignment into all aspects of your life. This show is a valuable resource for individuals seeking to optimize their health and well-being. Specializing in the fields of functional medicine, chiropractic, nutrition, and holistic wellness, this podcast is hosted by myself, Abby Borkowski, also known as Apples Eats on Instagram. The goal of this show is to offer insightful discussions and practical advice on achieving optimal health through a holistic approach. From addressing the root causes of stubborn health issues to exploring the latest research in functional medicine, this podcast offers a wide range of topics to empower listeners with the knowledge and tools to take control of their health. If you are ready to become functionally aligned. Hey all, welcome back to the Functional Alignment Show. Today we are going to be talking about what not having an appetite in the morning is telling your body, and just kind of some questions that go about that. So it's really going to kind of dive deeper into hormones and stuff like that, because the body's very interconnected. So if you're not having an appetite in the morning, most likely it means that there's a dysregulation of something going on. This isn't to diagnose anything. It's just kind of to give you some ideas as to what may be the issue or like the root cause of why you're not hungry in the morning. And I think that, you know, when you're younger or even nowadays, I always hear people being like, oh, I'm not hungry in the morning. I can go until like lunch and wear it kind of like a badge of honor. And then it makes it feel people like it's really not a badge of honor. It's really kind of that you have dysregulated nervous system going on and whatnot. So I really think that the true badge of honor is to be like synced up to your circadian rhythm and understanding your wake sleep cycle and how food can impact that. And there's an old tale that like breakfast is the most important meal of the day, and I truly believe that, especially now, just because like the whole world is always on go, go, go. So really making sure that you're getting in a first good meal of the day is super important. So basically, if you're not having an appetite in the morning, basically within like the first hour of waking up, it's your body signaling to you that there may be an underlying issue such as elevated cortisol levels or a hormone imbalance with leptin and ghrelin, or a sluggish liver. So it may take time. Like some people are like, I cannot have an appetite, I'm nauseous in the morning. That is literally a sign of a dysregulated nervous system. Your vagus nerve, which is a cranial nerve 10, it innervates the gut and the organs of the gut. And if that is dysregulated within the morning, then you're going to feel nauseous. That's basically what it comes down to. There's so many different things that could be relating to that. Poor sleep habits, phone use, late night TV watching, late night eating, just it could be a lot of things. But I'm going to kind of just take an overarching idea to this episode, I would say, and just throw a lot out there. And if there's any specific questions, feel free to ask me those, and then I can kind of go in and dig deeper into one specific thing. So it really should be that the appetite you should have it within the first 60 minutes of waking. You should be eating something within that first 60 minutes of waking to support the health and longevity of the body. Starting the day, especially with protein and fiber, can keep your mood and your energy levels more stable as the day goes on. And you're not likely to be hangry. So keeping that in mind, protein is super important in the morning so that you feel stable, your blood sugar is stable and whatnot. So I always get asked, is there a better time to eat in the morning? The general recommendation is that we should be eating within 30 minutes to an hour of waking. That's kind of the ideal time, I would say, with our cortisol levels like rising and then falling throughout the day. You want to make sure that you're getting in that first meal within 30 minutes of waking, I would say. That way your body knows it's in a safe spot. It knows that it can go through the day. It can power through. And this is especially important if you are a person that works out in the morning. This is, you kind of have to work with somebody if you're going to like for your specific routine, but this is just kind of a general statement, I would say. I'm just going to take somebody who works out at, say it's 7:30 in the morning or 7 in the morning. Go get a little snack that is rich in carbs and protein. It doesn't have to be something huge, but just something to stimulate the nervous system that it knows that it's safe before going and doing a strenuous 30 to whatever hour morning workout and then running on coffee throughout the rest of the day. That is a disaster for the cortisol levels, for the adrenal glands. That is just a disaster for the body. It tells it that it's running on flight or fight mode all day long. And I think if we give our bodies some more softness and love and food in the beginning of the day, I think that the body will respond tremendously. We're going to go back to that person that's going and working out at 7 a.m. Have a handful of, whether it be like nuts or some milk in the morning, if you have collagen, if you have a protein shake, something like that, just super easy that you can just eat beforehand and then go. Because I mean, if I'm waking up at 6:30 in the morning, I'm not gonna make this extravagant breakfast. That's just not gonna happen. And I'm being super realistic here. The best thing you can do is just take a handful of something and eat that before you go. Because if you feel nauseous, it should help that. And then also, I want you to make sure that you're drinking water with electrolytes before you go. And then this kind of plays a role into the whole kisspeptin talk. The first time I learned about kisspeptin, I think I had like a light bulb go off in my brain. And it's not talked about nearly enough. So basically, I'm going to do a quick rundown on what it is. So kisspeptin is made within the brain. It's released when the body feels safe, nourished, and when it has that food in the morning. It's especially important for females. So if you listen to this, kisspeptin induces production of LH and FSH, which are crucial for the female cycle, and they're required for menstruation. So if you are overworked, overstressed, have disrupted cortisol, do not feel hungry in the morning, are not living with your circadian rhythm, poor sleep habits, wired and tired at night, but crashing in the middle of the day, if any of this speaks to you, it is most likely that there is a dysregulated nervous system and kisspeptin is not regulated as well. Everything kind of goes hand in hand with each other. So if you have one of them, you most likely have the other one. So this really plays a role. In my past episodes, I talked about how I developed PCOS as a female athlete, and I really didn't menstruate because I had such low body fat at that time, and I was just overworked. I was over-exercising, under-eating, I would say, at that point, and that's kind of what led to me having a decrease in this kisspeptin and then not menstruating because my LH and FSH weren't signaling to my other hormones then to be released as well. So in conclusion, the kisspeptin plays a larger role. It also plays a role in tumor suppression. And when it is active in cells, when kisspeptin is active in cells, the tumor stays consolidated and it does not spread or grow. So this is why stress is literally correlated directly to cancer and tumor growth. And stress is the underlying cause of all disease. And if your stress levels are not being, I don't know the right word for this, but if you can't control your stress levels properly or even assess them properly, there is a likelihood that you're going to get a chronic disease at some point. So I really think that before doing all of these, before going and doing a HIIT workout, before going and saying, oh, I need to go run 5 miles today, before doing, what's something like just jumping the gun all the way to the end and saying that, oh, I'm going to go buy, I need to go change all of this because I want to live a healthier life. You really need to just start with controlling your stress levels. Do all the free things first. Go get sunlight first thing in the morning outside. Eat something. Nourish your body. Save the coffee for later. Try to decrease your caffeine levels will help tremendously as well in increasing the food intake. So that's kind of just a little rant right there. But going back to kisspeptin, it's undergone clinical trials actually as a potential medication for the treatment of like low libido, tumor suppression, all this stuff. So it's really amazing in both men and women. So that's why both men and women should be eating in the morning, I believe. And further on, it goes to show that kisspeptin has the ability to stimulate the hypothalamus. The hypothalamus is in the brain and it's kind of like the control system for all of the hormones in the body. So kisspeptin stimulates the hypothalamus to secrete a hormone called GnRH, which is gonadotropin-releasing hormone. And that is specifically important for female cycles because this then allows kisspeptin to be restorative for reproductive health in women and hypothalamic, I can't even say that word, amenorrhea, basically. So going back to what I was saying is that I was over-exercising, under-eating in college, lost my cycle. I had that hypothalamic amenorrhea, lost my cycle for a couple years, I would say. And it's most likely due to just my body being in such a stressed out state all the time that my cortisol levels were disrupted. My kisspeptin was not firing properly to the hypothalamus to secrete this GnRH, then to secrete the LH, the FSH, to then make sure that I have healthy levels of estrogen to progesterone in my body, testosterone, all of this. It's all interconnected once you really understand the root cause of everything. So that's why I wanted to just talk about how kisspeptin plays such a crucial role in the regulation of ovulation for females. This directly can correlate to fertility. Most people are jumping, most people are just saying that they cannot get pregnant. They're having miscarriages. And it's so saddening to see because most likely it is that we are not living in alignment with our bodies. We are dysregulated. We have dysregulated nervous systems. And instead of being put on all these medications, doing all of these expensive therapies, we really just need to come back to the root of doing less is more. And I can't wait to start working with females in this population once I graduate, but I'm so excited to just kind of be able to help people with this naturally and help them be able to improve their overall quality of life. So going back to how this is all related to feeling hungry in the morning, let's talk about the hormone cortisol. So cortisol, you've definitely heard it. It's been out there. It's super popular right now. But cortisol is related to all of this because if you're not feeling hungry in the morning, you're most likely have a dysregulated blood sugar and cortisol mechanism. So here's just a little background into what cortisol is. It is a steroid hormone that is produced from the adrenal glands. These adrenal glands sit actually on top of the kidneys. And cortisol affects the body and it regulates the body's response to stress. So it is a glucocorticoid steroid hormone specifically, and glucocorticoids suppress inflammation in the body tissues and control metabolism and help the sleep-wake cycles. So right there, you can see that this steroid hormone named cortisol directly suppresses inflammation inside the body tissues. And it controls the metabolism and it helps with sleep-wake cycles. So if somebody comes in and they're saying that they are not able to just lose that 15 pounds. They're doing everything. They work out 5 times a week. They have a super clean diet. It's most likely that cortisol is disrupted and it's dysregulated and it can't suppress inflammation inside the body. It can't control the metabolism then, and it can't control the sleep-wake cycle. So if you have a dysregulated cortisol pattern, you can't do any of that, leading to increased weight gain, leading to poor sleep, leading to more chronic disease, more infections, more you name it. So I really hope that the whole picture is kind of coming together and it's making sense that the root cause is so much deeper than just you got to take this medication and it's going to heal everything. So further, what cortisol does, the body is like a thermostat with cortisol, so it controls its levels for this thing called homeostasis inside the body. So it's always controlling it, trying to make sure that its levels are kept perfectly. But when the body encounters chronic stress or traumatic stress, the body then releases cortisol to any of those that are experienced, and then these tissues, they have receptors for the glucocorticoid, which is the thing the cortisol would attach to that, and it can affect every body system. So if you're having this chronic stress, it's affecting the whole system as a whole. So the whole body is being affected. And the cortisol, it regulates the body's stress response by releasing cortisol to stay in like a flight or fight mode when needed, so that it helps release glucose from the liver for fast energy during stressful times. So say you're about to get hit in a car or you're about to get into a car accident, that cortisol literally releases so much glucose from the liver that your blood sugar spikes and you turn into flight or fight mode, and you are in that for a while. I'm sure we've all experienced this. It's just, it makes you more attentive and focused on that one thing. And that is a stressful time. That's when the body is purely just trying to take care of that stress, but that cortisol is so elevated inside the body. So in short durations, the cortisol actually does good things. That's why you'll hear that like tough, strenuous workouts, saunas, cold baths, all these things actually increase cortisol in the short term. But this is the thing, short durations are only beneficial of it. Long-term durations of cortisol are not beneficial. So these short durations of doing good things boosts immunity by limiting inflammation. It also can just help like your immune system overall. So, but again, that chronically high level of cortisol can lead to high blood sugar that is going to be stayed in the bloodstream, and it can actually indirectly lead to type 2 diabetes with having insulin resistance and all of that. I'm not going to go into that, but just to show how long-term stress is very different than short-term stress. But if you have that chronic stress that I'm saying from work, from your job, from anything, and then you go and you do a strenuous workout, you're just adding to that pile of stress and it's not going to do you any good. In order to get any benefit from a strenuous workout or a sauna or a cold bath, your stress levels have to be pretty low to like medium, I would say, in order to put any extra stress on the body. So with the sleep-wake cycle, I've talked about this before, but I'll go over it quickly. You normally have lower cortisol in the evening because cortisol works opposite to melatonin. So if you think about that, when you're going to sleep, it makes perfect sense that you want your cortisol to be super low and you want your melatonin to be super high. And this is, I think, the biggest problem we have within the world, is that these bright overhead lights, phones, TVs, all of this light has caused our body to increase cortisol at night and decrease melatonin levels at night. This does not allow the body to sleep well and have efficient sleep. So this is the chronic cycle that somebody can get into, and then they get sick, they have chronic disease, and they have that chronic disease for a long time. So that should make sense to somebody. And to go more off of that, going back to the hypothalamus, this hypothalamus in the brain controls everything. It has a pituitary gland, which regulates the production of cortisol. Like I said, cortisol is made from the adrenal glands, which is on top of the kidneys. So that's like right above like your ribs, basically, right under your ribs. And that stimulation comes from this little area called the pituitary gland in the brain. So the brain is directly, it's directly communicating to these adrenal glands on top of the kidneys that it needs a release of cortisol or stuff like that. So this is just goes to show that the body systems all work together. So you have to look at a body as a whole. You can't just take apart these specific systems and treat them separately. So basically, to go off of that, it's just that you really got to take care of your brain health, your mental health, your stress, your overall how you perceive things, and so many things go into that. I could go on and on, but I'm not going to, just because I think I need to kind of end this somewhere, and I will save that whole episode for another time. But if you want to get your cortisol levels checked out, I really, really recommend that. That is a great place to start, so you can see if that is where the root cause needs to be. We can do a little, I think everybody can work on cortisol regulation though. So my favorite ways to do this are to eat in the morning. And coming back to that full circle, eating in the morning will help tremendously with the kisspeptin release. It will help then with the regulation of stress levels, with the regulation of cortisol releasing at the proper times. Again, you want cortisol high in the morning, low at night. Many people are having a like high cortisol in the morning, but it stays high. It never really comes down. And then when you get to that nighttime, it's still high and your melatonin is not being able to be made properly. So you are wired and tired when you go to bed. And eating breakfast within 30 minutes of waking can help so much with just making the body feel that it is safe, it is nourished, and it can take on the whole day. And I really recommend that you start with something small and you have food before coffee. An ideal morning stack that I think that would help everybody's cortisol rhythm is to aim for, just start small. Start 5 minutes outdoor with fresh air and fresh light outside. Start 5 minutes out there, drink water with electrolytes, and have a little snack if you can. If you can eat a whole breakfast, that's fantastic. Start with something small, get your stomach acclimated. Think of it like you're trying to train your muscles of your stomach to eat more in the future. Like you're training muscles to work out, but you're training yourself to try and eat more. You don't have to jump all in. Start small and then increase it. And you'll slowly see that your food and the way that your relationship with food kind of heals. Like if you are coming home at night and you're binging on food after a full day of work, it's most likely because your body has a disrupted cortisol rhythm and it's not satisfied. So really focusing on incorporating food in the morning can really, really help change that. And lastly, I suggest that the first thing you do not go for in the morning is coffee or any caffeine. Any caffeine should really be aimed to drink after the ingestion of food. This is solely for the purpose of helping the cortisol, because if you think about it, what does coffee do? It helps the body feel awake, feel energized, and that is directly a stressor to the body. So it's putting that body in the flight or fight mode, and it's a recipe for disaster. So I'm not saying that coffee's bad. I'm just saying coffee's bad if you're not doing it in the right context. that is where I will leave it. But I know that this episode was kind of lengthy. It was in depth. It was very scientific. But if you have any questions, I would love to chat more about it. I hope I answered as much as I could during this episode. But if you want anything more specific to be touched upon, I would absolutely love to help with that. And you can either reach out to me on DMs at my Instagram, which is going to be at Abels Eats. And then I also am on TikTok at that same one. I'm more active on Instagram, however, though. And if you want to get in touch with me, feel free. And if you want to share this episode to somebody that you think that could use a little stress reduction, understand about cortisol levels, understand why eating in the morning is super helpful, please share it with them. I think that this episode is super beneficial, super knowledgeable, and thank you for listening.